the Subway Series. Yankees take 2 out of 3, but the Mets on Sunday Night Baseball do prevent the sweep. Seth Lugo was dominant in 6 very strong innings, 8 Ks. Todd Frazier with the home run. But, of course, question marks with the Mets. Yoenis Cespedes, what comes next? As for the Yankees, best record in baseball, question marks there. Gary Sanchez, what happens next with him? What to do to fix that bat? To talk about Mets-Yankees Subway Series, we turn to David Lennon, baseball columnist from Newsday and good source of baseball wisdom and perspective in our area. Hey, Dave, how are you?
That's very nice of you to say, Lori. Thank you.
you've become, I think, you know, over the last decade or so, I feel like, you know, at this point, I'll dub you a baseball wise man. How about that?
Wise man. Wow. Okay. That means I'm getting up there in years, Lori.
So. It probably means we both are. all right. So I guess we'll start with, in a season of anger and sadness for Mets fans, there have not been a lot of bright spots, but one is Seth Lugo. So what impresses you most about Seth Lugo tonight and on the season?
Well, I mean, I just the way he kind of goes about his business. I mean, he's just so... I don't know if aggressive is the right word for it, but to borrow a Mickey Callaway phrase, he just pitches with conviction. You know, he has confidence in his pitches. He has great location. You know, we all know about
the spin rate,
of course, that he's the wizardry on that. So he makes him a very difficult person to hit with a lot of movement on his pitches, obviously. So that's the biggest thing. And from what we've seen the Mets pitchers so far, Lori, is that if you go out there with a game plan, you have confidence that the pitches are going to work, that you have the ability to command the strike zone, you can get people out and you can pitch well. And I think that's the difference. With Lugo, he's always pitched like that. You know, when you talk to him after games, he speaks in a very matter-of-fact tone and kind of says, hey, you know what, that's how I pitch. You know, I have confidence I can get these guys out. I know how to execute my pitches. I know what they're going to do. And that's what you see tonight, even against, as we know, an extremely dangerous offensive team in the Yankees.
Now, I had a caller ask the question earlier that is, if you're the Yankees and you know, because Lugo has gone back and forth between being a starter and a bullpen, that he's going to be on a limited pitch count, should the Yankees somehow, or why weren't the Yankees more selective or tried to, drive up the pitch count? My point is it's easier said than done, but what would your response be to that?
Yeah, I mean, Lugo's in the strike zone all the time. You know, I mean, you can't really wait guys out like that. I mean, I'm sure that's what they knew going in. I mean, they know that he's on a pitch count. And any guy that's on a pitch count that you want to see if you can drive it up, and the Yankees usually good about that. But when a guy is going to be in the strike zone, you can't do that. You know, you can't just keep taking strikes. You have to swing at pitches you think you can hit. If a guy is throwing pitches that you think you can hit, and with Lugo, he's very deceptive because of the movement on his pitches.
Yeah.
You know, they look good, so you're swinging at them, and you wind up putting the ball in play. So, yeah, I mean, you can say you want to be patient with guys, but if you're pitched in that way, you can't wear them out. You can't drive up the pitch count if they won't let it be done.
I think that's exactly right about the deception, is that I think sometimes, whether it's the media, fans, all of us, it's easy to sit back and say, you know, why do you swing at that? But
right.
Hitting a baseball is very difficult.
Of course.
So with what we saw out of Seth Lugo, should he be a starter? If you were Mickey Callaway, with all the problems you have with your bullpen, but on the other hand, if this is a meritocracy, certainly he's one of the best 5 starters on this team. Should Lugo be a starter when Syndergaard gets back? Should Jason Vargas be moved to the bullpen? How would you handle this?
Well, you know, I think there's 2 factors here, Lori. One, the starters have pitched much better,
mm-hmm.
And that I include, you know, Jason Vargas in that. You know, as much as we've been down on him, he has shown some improvement. And we know what the importance is on the bullpen now. You know, there's so much emphasis on having a good bullpen and having the flexibility back there for on nights when your starter may falter or just give you 4 innings or 5 innings. So I do think right now that Lugo remains crucial to the bullpen just because there's nobody else to have faith in out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you have even a ton of faith in Anthony Swarzak right now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
No.
So, I mean, tonight I would have went with Gazelman for three innings, actually, rather than bringing Swarzak. He was pitching so well. So I think right now, I do think the Mets are better positioned as long as they have Lugo and Gazelman in the bullpen. That's really a great tandem, Laurie. And if you remember when they went on that big winning streak to start the year.
I forgot.
That's when they had, yeah.
It seems like a really long time ago. But, oh, you're
exactly.
Right. Those guys were good.
Yeah, those guys are pretty impressive back there. So I think right now we always ask these guys these questions. Lugo says he still sees himself as a starter. But Callaway right now says he's making it hard on them. But I think ideally where they like those guys, as long as it's not some huge collapse in the rotation, I think they like Lugo in the bullpen. That said, I mean, who knows when Syndergaard's going to be healthy enough to pitch again, too.
Talking to David Lennon about Mets-Yankee Subway Series, you mentioned when Syndergaard would be healthy enough. Speaking of health and injuries and Mets, what was the word after the game on Asdrubal Cabrera? We know it was the hamstring, but any sense of how serious in talking to him afterwards?
Well, Cabrera was gone after the game.
Okay,
he's going to be staying back in New York for tomorrow to be checked out.
Mm-hmm.
The team was flying out immediately after the game. So, I mean, Laurie, what I always find funny is that, like, when you ever ask the manager after the game, hey, you know, what do you think? You think this is going to be a DL thing? You know, Mickey Callaway is always like, no, it's not going to be a DL thing. He'll be fine. You know, always that's the answer. And as we know, always the person winds up on the DL eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with a hamstring. I mean, you guys saw
yep.
watching the game. When he slipped, he immediately grabbed for it.
Yep.
He didn't come out the next inning. He was the last guy out because they were working on his leg. So, listen, hamstrings are dangerous. Cabrera has been a gamer. He's played through a lot of stuff. But a hamstring needs time. And if it bothered him enough to come out of the game, I have to think that they have to put him at least on a DL. It's only 10 days now, obviously. I would think that he would wind up on the DL just to give that a chance to heal up.
Yeah, and at his age and history with the knees and all that, it makes total sense. But I shudder to think of that Mets lineup without him, as he has been their best hitter, and especially against when you think of that lineup against lefties with him on the DL. Speaking of bats in the middle of this lineup in the DL, any recent word? It sounds like also Cespedes with a setback. Mets fans should not expect to see him anytime soon?
Yeah, that wasn't good news. I mean, he always opened with, you know, he was removed for precautionary reasons because his quad felt tight when he was down in Trenton.
Great.
You know, all along, this has been a hip flexor thing that they've talked about, and now it's the quad. And Mickey said today that, well, you know, the hip flexor and the quad are connected. It's just kind of one thing after the next. And the fact that he went straight to Florida to start rehabbing kind of makes me think if it's not starting over and pressing reset and coming from day one again, then it could be pretty close to that. So I'm thinking with Cespedes, you know, he's at least another 2 weeks from coming back, probably longer, just to see if they can get that quad to heal up some. And, you know, by that time, he will have missed more games this year than he will have played in by that point, if it winds up being another 2 weeks.
All right. So, Dave, here we are. It's early June. So far, I know this is probably an unfair question in some ways, but contrast the job that you've seen from Mickey Callaway doing so far as a new manager as opposed to Aaron Boone. And obviously, Boone has a way more talented and deeper roster, but so it's easier to look smart. But just contrast, you cover both. How are they different so far? How are they adapting?
Well, I mean, I think the two guys have very different personalities. I mean, I think Aaron Boone really came into the job in kind of a very chill fashion just because that's his personality. And, you know, when the team started off kind of sluggish, you know, 9-9, he handled it pretty well. You know, he wasn't really kind of stressed out. He still handled the media pretty well, seemed to have a good handle on the clubhouse to that point. And, you know, eventually the talent prevailed. I mean, the team started playing better. You know, some guys got healthy. And lo and behold, you know, they became the, you know, the team with the best record in baseball. So Boone has a very easy hand on the throttle with that club. And the other thing, Laurie, is that you know, these aren't the George Steinbrenner Yankees. I know we say that a lot, but managing for the Yankees right now, Brian Cashman is a good, is an easy GM to be the manager for. Hal Steinbrenner is an easy owner to be the manager for. Obviously, the job comes with a lot of pressure because of the expectations on the Yankees. But that organization works very well. There's not a lot of tension around it like there used to be. So that's why Boone becomes a very good fit for the personality. Now, when we get to a guy like Mickey Callaway, you know, I think Mickey is a very bright guy when it comes to pitching. I think he's done a good job with the pitching staff as it's come around now. But with the Mets, I think managing the Mets is the hardest job in baseball. just because that organization, between kind of the volatility and between a lot of the tugging between the front office, between ownership, I think there's a lot of tension around that all the time. I think you see that in Mickey a lot in these press conferences. He's kind of struggling for the kind of the right thing to say because he's worried about what the right thing is to say. So inevitably he says the wrong thing. So I think it's really the environment these two guys are in. And once the team started losing with the Mets, you know, the mistakes that Mickey was making as a rookie manager started becoming magnified, and the ones he was getting away with early on, he wasn't getting away with anymore. So I just think that, you know, now you've seen Boone be even more relaxed because the team's doing so well, and now you see Mickey tightening up that much more because of how rough things have been around the Mets lately.
Talking to Dave Lennon about the Subway Series, and you know, Gary Sanchez continues to struggle with the bat. Obviously, he's not in there for the glove. It's the bat. Many Yankee fans criticizing him, wondering, you know, should he, you know, calling for, you know, do you send him down to the minors and all kinds of things. What would you do? Are you concerned about Gary Sanchez's bat, and what would you do with Gary Sanchez?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't looked good. It's been pretty rough, and you know, I just wonder if something's bothering him health-wise, because as we know, we saw a very kind of similar run with Aaron Judge last year, only to find out long after the fact that his shoulder was bothering him. So, yeah, I mean, I think when you have guys that talented, and Sanchez had done it for a while now, not just 1 year, he had done it the year before too, so I can't help but think that he's maybe trying to protect something, or he's compensating for something, even though the Yankees haven't come out and said that. That's really the only explanation I can have. I mean, these guys are working constantly on their swing, you know, taking batting practice all the time. So as bad as he's been, we also know these things turn around a little bit. So I'm not really sure there's anything else to do with him. I mean, he's not going to get sent down, and it's not like you're going to sit him and just play Romine all the time, as well as Romine has played, by the way. He's actually played well offensively. So, yeah, I think at this point, maybe you give him a breather for a couple of days and have Romine behind the plate just to let maybe Sanchez catch his breath and just kind of relax his mind a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, sending him down, I think that's a little bit – I think that's too drastic. You won't see that.
And especially when you have the best record in baseball. I think that can buy you a little patience.
Exactly. I agree with that, too, for sure.
All right. David Lennon, I could talk to you for another half hour, but, yeah, it's after 1 o'clock in the morning, so we'll let you go to sleep. Thanks so much for the time. Catch up with you down the road.
You got it. Anytime, Laura. Take care.